One of the aspects of Ignatian spirituality is how does God communicate with us? And as we have seen, God so loved the world that he didn't send an idea or thing, but as I've said, the sacramentalization or the incarnation or the visibility or the tangibility of God is in the person of Jesus. And he comes as person, as human being. One of the things we find out in teaching the course to the seniors at Creighton is they really have a tough time with the humanity of Jesus. They would like to relate with Jesus as God pretending to be one of us, which was a heresy in the early church. And there's been all kinds of things of Jesus, well, just appeared, or no, he really was a human being. And this has many implications, one of which is that God wants to be nez a nez, nose to nose with us, person to person. And how will God do that? Well, Jesus comes as person and says, I want to be personal with you. I want you to be personal. I don't want you to be impersonal with God. That is, I don't want you to be only problematic. Yes, there are problems, but that's not the only relational platform. It's about being honestly who you are and letting him be honestly who he is. So that's the broad context for this whole thing of being personal with life, being honest and transparent and as much as possible. Some of you have been caught with your hand in the cookie jar at times. One time I had my hand in a cookie jar behind me that I didn't think anybody could see, and I did not know that it was made of glass, not pottery, and everyone could see my hand. Getting caught is an embarrassing thing. So today I got caught by the realization and the finding out that one among you is, believe it or not, a Delta pilot. No more jokes. And he said the funniest thing. He said, "I, on behalf of the 80,000 pilot family, I want to thank you for your patience." That was the highlight of the day. But what it comes to is, it's easy to be person to non-person with an organization. To be personal and face-to-face with a real person that of that organization, whether it be the church or airplanes or government or whatever, persons ask us to be persons. And we can relate with persons as if they are only institutions. What I'm talking about is the difference between objectification and subjectification, if you want to make a word. That Jesus came to ask us to be personal and relate with the personal God personally. And it is so easy to objectify God. It's very easy to objectify anybody. What does objectification mean? You subtract their being persons and they are only objects for my entertainment, enjoyment, anger, whatever. It can be anything. They're not a person. They are a thing. So in many ways we objectify each other, women, children, men. I heard a young woman, this is, I never heard this, but describing, you know, she was attracted to a young person, a classmate, and she said to me, "He is real eye candy." Isn't that a great phrase, eye candy? Nice to look at. Well, eye candy is some form of objectification because it's at a distance, and it's easy to objectify at a distance, and so it's easy to objectify God and the cultures and cultures and cultures and tribes and groups have objectified God. Let's see, once you objectify God, then you know exactly what to do with it. It's an it. You learn the itness of it. You learn how to manipulate it. And so what you make a machine or a statue out of a person. And you can do that with God. That God is something that you can figure out and manipulate and be in control of. Every real relationship calls the persons in the relationship into mystery. And some people come, married people will come to me and say, "Father, my husband, he's a mystery to me. He's a real mystery." And I say, "So you can't figure him out?" "No!" I said, "You know, that's a compliment." "No, it's not a compliment. I'm supposed to be able to figure him out and get away with it." That's what objectification is. It's about control, and it's not allowing mystery. And it really is. Objectification is how everything is about me. It's mine. It's got my fingerprints on it. Sin, in a way, is my giving a name to a thing or a person that's my name rather than my seeing God's name. God's given name to that person. That person is woman, baby, unborn, elderly, mentally, physically challenged. God's name is, they're a person. They're a human being. That's God's name. And when I objectify it, I say, that person is a pain in the butt. That's my name for him or her. That person is a mistake. That's to objectify person. And you can't do that. Now, in the times of Jesus, they tried to objectify him, and he wouldn't let them do it. They wanted him to be nothing more than a miracle machine. Do more for us. Entertain us. You validate our power base. Don't you say anything against us. You affirm, that's what the Pharisees and scribes are saying, you have to affirm us. And Jesus said, "No, I am the person that is to fulfill what you have been called to do. I don't replace you. I fulfill you. I bring it to a more personal relationship with God." I don't know if this makes sense yet. It's easy to objectify each other. You know, he's define him by or her by what they do. She's a redhead. Well, we have names like that. He's a plumber. Well, I understand. But the spirituality of St. Ignatius is to see and to see what a person or a thing is. They are sacraments. And to receive them reverently, and to praise God by the reception of them as they are, and not try to change their name. To change their name is to objectify them, because then you have control over them, or manipulation, or domination over them. No, a real relationship relinquishes dominion. A real relationship of love allows there to be mystery. I don't want to control it. I want to control it for my security and my safety and my sense of my being okay. But to really let another be the other is to be subject to subject. You are a kind, you are similar to me, and I am a person and you are a person. And I am a mystery and you are a mystery, and we will relate with as much as we know about each other. One of the ways to objectify people is not to listen to them. Okay, how does that work? We don't listen to things that might change us. So we don't listen, if we're Republicans, we don't listen to Democrats. If we're Democrats, we don't listen to Democrats. And it goes on and on. You know, we don't want to hear from the opposition. We don't want to hear anything that doesn't affirm me. So I objectify you. You are a noise. And I will not listen to you. In fact, I will start talking to you to make sure that I don't have to listen to you. And that's a simple way of objectifying people. They're noisemakers. They're not persons. They're not, what they say and what they feel is not to be received and reverenced. But arguing about religion or politics or families or anything, arguing moves very quickly from subject to object. Because I'm not listening to you. I'm so convinced of my truth that I'm going to convince you, but not as person. I'm not saying what I think is good for you. I am talking about what I think is good for me. And I argue because if I listened, I might change. So I'm arguing so I don't let your subject influence my subject. But when it's subject-subject, when it's person-to-person, I am reverencing what God is saying to me, what Jesus is saying to me, what spouse or children or whoever, I want to hear it. Because I want to be a person. And I don't want to be objectified. They tried to objectify Jesus. We know you. You are the carpenter's son. You're from Nazareth. You do tricks here. Do for us what you did elsewhere. He said, no, you're not treating me as a person. You're treating me as something you know and you think you can control. You don't want to hear from me. You want to see me do mechanical things for you, and that will affirm you. Subject-subject life, person-to-person life, is I am not afraid of myself as mystery. I don't know all about me. When I treat you as an object, I want to make sure that you don't change me. I don't know who I am, but I don't want you to know that I don't know. Objectification of another is to change their name. That they aren't a gift from God, they are what I say they are. And I think that's a definition of sin, that I change the love name that God gives to my sterile, impersonal relationship with them. So, say people who kill each other, who shoot each other. They think they're killing someone they hate. They're objectifying someone they don't know. Mercy killing, abortion, all those, it's strict objectification. They are a bother. You've changed their name. You changed their name from human to bother. One of the things then is in Ignatian spirituality, as I hinted at, is that seeing God in all things is seeing God not just as creator, but as person giving us gifts. And the gifts, as I said, the gestures are a harmonious health statement about the interior of God, of the other. That the gestures of the healthy are congruent with the interior. And so we get to know people by their gestures. They are erratic or they are peaceful and whatever. We give them names, adjectives, because we get to know them by their gestures. To live subject to subject in the Ignatian tradition is to be wondering, always wondering, what is God giving me? I see it, but I wonder what it really is. I wonder what the interruption is. I wonder, I see the wrapping, but I'm not sure I understand the substance yet. There's a personal hand behind them. I see the gift, I might not see the hand, but I trust that there is, that there's something being given, and I might not unwrap it for years, but I expect that God is personal with me. Not just that God knows me, but God is creating me. And here is the whole thing. If this has been confusing so far, maybe this will clear it up. Your being, person to person, with spouse, family, relatives, friends, neighbors, whatever, your being personal is this. I am interested and committed to helping God continue your creation. That's the whole thing. I am interested. I am giving myself personally to God, that God might give me personally, involving you in whatever form, to increase your creation. And to objectify is, I don't give a damn about your creation, about your advancement, about your growth, about your depth. It's all about me. And so am I interested in extending God's blessing to you? I don't say that, but is my relationship with you so personal that what I really want to do is share with you what is really going to be good for you, not just good for me? And that's a hard discernment. We say things we think are good for people, but it's really a boast statement. It's more interested in my creation. And on the other hand, as person, I want to see, how is God creating me through you? I want to receive that. What is God giving me? Now, why am I interested in me? You say, that sounds selfish. No. Generosity depends on gratitude. Gratitude depends on knowing and what I'm receiving. I want to receive gifts, but any gift, if it's a gift to me, it's not mine. That the creation of other people that we are involved in is, you expect that my creation of you will help you create others. What I give you is not just yours. Nothing is mine. Nothing is yours. It's ours. That's creational. That's relational. Objectify is, I want you only to involve me in my creation of me, and just for myself, keeping me to myself. So objectification is me for no other reason, not my creation, my control, my power base. Yeah. So it's a tremendous way to live, and it's the way Jesus lived, and that's why Jesus would heal somebody and then say, get out of here. I've created you that you can be an instrument of creation elsewhere. An agent of blessing. Jared Manley Hopkins, in a poem called As Kingfishers Catch Fire, he says, everything mortal does one thing. A bell bells, rings its note. A guitar string, one note. But he says, yeah, that's true. Every mortal thing does one thing in the same, deals out that being indoors, each one dwells, it selves. Everything selves. The tree can do nothing but self. He says, ah, but then there's you and there's me. And we do more than self, we Christ. We keep God's grace going. Imagine that grace keeps us a grace. That the person-to-person relationship that God has with us that says, all I want you is for you to be a sacrament. I want you to be a receiver that is in process of distribution. What a wonderful way to live. That I'm grateful for the gifts that God personally has given me because they're ours. They're not mine. And that's the real essence of spiritual poverty. That I can have much, but it's not mine. By baptism and by the other sacraments, we are less and less ours. And I am less and less for me and more a part of God's creation of you. What a great way to live. And Hopkins finishes the poem by saying, the just man does all this, acts in God's eye, what in God's eye he is, Christ. For each of us, Christ, acts in God's eye, what in God's eye we are. For Christ plays in 10,000 places, lovely in limbs and lovely in eyes, not his, to the Father through the features of men's faces. That we play to the Father, we play to the Creator who through us continues creation. Isn't that a great way to live? But, on the other hand, we are so selfish, you know. We are inclined to objectification, even of ourselves. So I am a consumer, and you are to be consumed. I am a buyer, and you are what I buy. Strict objectification. But in the mercantile economy of God, there is no buying and selling. There's blessing and distributing. In Mass, we say, and it's a Jewish prayer, it's a Jewish blessing, he takes the bread, blesses the bread, breaks the bread, and distributes it. That's what Mary is doing in the Visitation. That's at the center of the exercises, to be taken and blessed and broken in the sense of parted from the strict object that I am as a body or as a thing. He breaks me from my name for myself and says, this is my body. See, we are always in Eucharist. That Mary allowed her body to be taken and blessed and broken and then shared. The breaking is the hard part. You are not just a nothing in Nazareth. You are blessed among women. Whoa. And so are we. Blessed among God's people. So taken, blessed, broken, and for distributed. So to be blessed is only a preparation for distribution. To receive gifts, no gift is mine. I know where it came from and I know what it's for. So it's all about allowing ourselves to be very personal. What's another word for personal? Grateful, available, vulnerable, unafraid to be known, in that way to be simple, to be unpretentious, to be open to interruptions. I want to tell you about another little thing today. After the conference on interruptions and invitations, I was thinking about going running. And so I was headed down the hall and somebody said, could I have a word with you? And I just said about invitations and interruptions. Oh, sure. And right then was thunder outside. And I was glad that I heard the thunder after I agreed to be interrupted. Because if I say, I hear the thunder, oh, no problem. I have to listen to what I say to be available to interruptions for the grace of the interruption. And I got off the hook for running today, which That's a good thing. Well, I don't know what you're going to do with that. It's I know it's unusual. It's maybe deep. All it really is what I just was saying. You know you are personal when you are unafraid of another person meeting you in your truth. That then you are on the road to living subject to subject, me to you. And to pretend and to posture, you are asking that person to treat you as an object. Each of us has to live and pray towards, what name did God give me? What does it mean to be child of God? What does it mean to be body of Christ? What does it mean to be faithful? What does it mean to know my name as loved? Those are names that God gives us, but we falsify them and say, that's not good enough. I have to have something. I have to have things. Stand behind them and so people will know that I am richer than just child of God. So to pray with this, I would like you to watch, and there's many, 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 especially in Matthew's Gospel, but in Luke too. A little bit in John, yes, but stay in Matthew. Just watch how the scribes and Pharisees objectified Jesus. He was a threat. He was an imposter. They would not let him be person. And all he's trying to do is be person. He says it so often in John, I am. He's making that declarative statement, referring to the God who said, I am who I am. That's a great way for us to live. This is who I am. Don't objectify me. But it's easy. And the real freedom is not to be so afraid of another person that we objectify them. So it's to receive the sacrament of the present moment, to receive the sacrament of the present person there. It's hard. But it is part of our conversion to be instrumental. Imagine that I and you are instruments of God's continuing the creation that he began and continues through us. We create children, yes, but we create persons. Just by smiling it's whatever way we can, we are interested in giving them life. It's what the way Jesus lived, isn't it? Just watch him. He tried to relate with everyone as persons, as we saw this afternoon, Simon the Pharisee and his ilk objectified her. She's a slut, a prostitute, no good, dirty. Jesus relates to her as a person and gives her life. That's a perfect picture of it. But so many of the healings are in the face of the objectifying Pharisees. That was their real sin, I think. He objectified Jesus and he objectified everybody because everyone was not in the process of their creation, but sustaining their own power base and their own having created themselves. They are the leaders. But they weren't interested in creating anybody else except themselves. And I think that's a definition for those who objectify themselves and objectify life. So if you want, just spend some time watching Jesus deal person to person and ask for the conversion to not be afraid to be a person.